We spent the last several months moving through the book of Galatians, a letter that Paul wrote to churches in an area of the Roman Empire. We finish up that study this morning. We look at Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 11 and covering the very last verse up through verse 18. What have we learned from these past weeks? I would hope that it's given you and me an opportunity to understand one of the greatest truths of Scripture, and that is that salvation is a gift of grace that cannot be earned, that is not deserved by any of us, but is one that God freely gives. With that gift of salvation comes tremendous responsibility. We can't take a free gift of grace and just act like we can then live any way we want. Paul concludes his remarks in this sixth chapter, beginning with the 11th verse, and we just simply want to move through it verse by verse this morning, ask God to bless the effort that we have made in these weeks to study this book, and then to bless our church as we move forward in our worship and adoration of Him. The 11th verse, I've entitled, Listen Up. He says, See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Sounds a little strange. See with what large letters I'm writing to you. Letter writing in the first century is a little bit different than the way we put letters together today. And even in formal writing, which Galatians would have been considered a letter that was to be circulated among churches, Paul used a custom that perhaps we've never really considered before, and that is, he didn't write out these letters himself. He had a, technically you would call it an amanuensis, a stenographer, a secretary. We know that in a couple of the other letters of Paul, he even thanks this person. One of them's name was Tertius. He was a stenographer, someone who traveled with Paul, who had legible handwriting, who wrote out what Paul was dictating to him. But for some reason, in the 11th verse of this last chapter, Paul takes the pen in his own hand and he writes a notation. See with what large letters I'm writing to you. Some scholars think that this is referring to an eye ailment that Paul had. If you remember back in earlier chapters, Paul talked about how when he came to Galatia the first time, he had a serious physical ailment. He didn't say what it was. But he looked grotesque, is what how he describes himself. Maybe that was an eye ailment. Don't know. Some people think that Paul wrote with large letters because he couldn't write very well. His vocabulary was limited. I think that's a bogus reason because he was trained as a rabbi. He had a high level of education. What I would say the 11th verse of the 6th chapter of Galatians is really telling us is that this is important. And in our day and time, we use boldface or we use italics. If you write email years ago, did you ever learn early on that when you write with all caps, you're screaming in an email? I didn't know that. Now, I have my own little way of communicating electronically, and that is I don't use any capital letters at all. If you've ever gotten an email from me or any correspondence from me, it's all lowercase. Some people call me lazy. Go right ahead and call me lazy. It's not going to change the way I write and communicate electronically. But I discovered early on that if you italicize something and if you capitalize something and if you use those little figures that they have now in smartphones that have all these faces, you can be screaming in an email. That's what Paul's doing here. He is saying, okay, folks, I've been dictating this to my amanuensis, my stenographer, my friend who is keeping up with everything I'm going to say. But now I've taken the pen in my own hand, which means these last verses are crucial. Listen up. Jesus, when he was walking around, had a phrase that he would use when he was speaking about something important. In the King James Version, it's verily, verily. In more modern translations, New American Standard, you'll find it truly, truly. John chapter 3, when Jesus has the interview with Nicodemus, on more than one occasion, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Truly, truly. That was Jesus' way. I remember being taught in graduate school that when you saw that phrase, truly, truly, you needed to stop. Everything Jesus said was important. Everything in red letter, alphabet in a Bible that has the words of Christ in red are His words. They're very important. But when Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, you best stop. You better get your ears out, ready to listen, because what He's about to say is most important. Paul, he wrote with italics. Matter of fact, all caps. It might be good if you ever are responsible for translating a version of the Bible, you might just want to take Galatians 6, 11 through 18 and make sure that when it's printed in all italics and italicized or all capital letters so no one will mistake the importance of these words. So what are they? These closing verses, he recaps his enemies. He calls them Judaizers. They were the threat to the Galatian churches. They were the legalists. We've talked about them over and over and over again. And so he spends verses 12 and 13 just recapping why their teaching is deplorable. And then he closes with his own self-evaluation. We're all used to taking evaluations, perhaps at work, or you're evaluated by the way you do a job. Maybe there's a formal process for that, maybe not. But Paul closes out these words. He closes out this book that we call Galatians with an evaluation, his own self-evaluation. Let's see what he says. Verses 12 and 13. He says, those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who were circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. He's talked about these people time and time again. And in his closing words, in all capital letters, italicized, however you want to put it, see with what large letters I'm writing to you. He says, I want you to remember this. Whenever you're tempted, if it's just from your own mind, or if it's someone coming behind me, or if it's another group that comes into the life of the church to try to tell you how to do things, how to grow your church, how to be spiritual, you need to beware, because these people who follow legalism, who want you to add something to your faith in Christ, they do great damage. And he just reminds them quickly. He talks about their method. Their method was to use force against people, against innocent believers or first-time believers. He said there in verse 12, they try to compel you to be circumcised. Now, we have to be realistic here. We've talked about circumcision, the physical mark upon the male. They didn't physically go knocking on doors and dragging young men or old men out to the riverbank where someone had a kosher knife in their hand to do this rite of circumcision. But nevertheless, they used a form of force. Think about it. Do you love God? Yes. Well, if you love God, then why would you refuse to do what He's commanded us to do? See, that question is asked today. Do you and I love God? And if we say, yes, we do love God, then there'll be something that we're compelled to do, something that we have to add, something that we've got to put on the list in order for us to be approved by God. Paul says they use force, and it's wrong. He not only talks about their method, but he talks about their motive. And their motive was fear. He says they do this, why in verse 12? So they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Interesting. You see, these Judaizers that came into the churches of Galatia and began to spread this false teaching were doing so because they in turn were being forced by others. There was someone else behind them, and their motivation was fear. They were afraid of their own persecution, of being ridiculed, of being cut out, of being abused, whether spiritually, mentally, physically, doesn't matter. He says, but you need to understand that their method is nothing but forcing their will upon you. And their motive is nothing but their own fear of what will happen if you don't line up with what they want you to do. He talks about their consistency. And he says, if you're talking about consistency, these people are flawed in their consistency. They're hypocrites. He says there in verse 13, they don't even keep the law themselves. This is what's amazing, because in everyday life, we find time and time again, people who are so-called spiritual are trying to compel others, trying to teach others, but yet they don't keep their own requirements. They don't follow their own teaching. Paul is writing in big capital letters because he wants us to remember this. And their goal, what is their ultimate goal? But they flaunt. They flaunt what? They flaunt the statistics that they can count. They can go back and say, well, those churches in Galatia, we've got them all lined up. They're with us. We've got these people. We've got them agreeing with what we say has to be done. And so really all it turned into was just a numbers game. And you know how stats are. You know how statistics are. You know how figures are and numbers are. It doesn't matter what study you're using, or if it's a political poll, or if it's how to measure growth in the organization in which you work. You can take numbers and you can twist them. You can do all kinds of things. They tell a very, very amazing story, but they can also be used in a way that's more flaunting and more destructive than it is anything. So Paul says, I'm writing to you with italics because you don't want to go back to this way of legalism. He closes out with what I call the last word. This is his self-evaluation. He's not trying to go head-to-head with these enemies. He's not trying to say, I'm better than you. He's just simply stating his case for the way he conducts his life. He says, may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Those who walk will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. What's he say here? As I look at Paul's own self-evaluation, first and foremost, he says, if you're going to remember me for anything, it's going to be for the priority of the cross. Those words that have crept forward into a hymn that's familiar to many of us. When I survey the wondrous cross, forbid it, Lord, that I would boast, save in the death of Christ our Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. Paul is saying, the message speaks for itself. If it's a message of legalism, if it's a method of adding something, subtracting something, if all it does is divide, if all it does is create more work for those who are trying to maintain this relationship with God, he says, let it be known that my testimony, my message, is nothing more and nothing less than the priority, the importance of the cross of Jesus. He says, don't major on minors. Verse 15, he brings back the example from his day, from his society, from his custom. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. But it's what's in the heart. It's a new creation that counts. See, we've often painted the picture here like circumcision is evil. And Paul's setting the record straight. He says it's not evil in and of itself. He was circumcised. Others in his entourage were circumcised. Some were not. He says it really doesn't matter. But to take that issue and to make it paramount, make it be the watershed event He said, you've got to back off and you've got to quit majoring on things that are minor. You see, if people had treated circumcision as it should have been treated, it wouldn't have been near this big an issue. For those who felt its importance and understood its symbolism, it would have been a wonderful thing. But to take it and to elevate it to the place where these men did, where these Judaizers did, Paul says, you can't do that. Now, you know how we work that out in everyday life, at least in our church, don't you? We've used that saying time and time again. In the essential things, we need to have agreement. In the non-essential things, we need to grant freedom to one another. And in everything, regardless of what it is, we need to do it in love. In essentials, unity. We're not going to preach a message other than the supremacy of Christ. That's essential. We agree on that. We have unity on that. But there are many other issues. There are many other things where we should grant one another freedom because they are non-essential. They may be important to you. They may be important to me. But if I'm honest, some of the things that maybe I've grown up with, some of the customs that are very, very important to me, if I really back up and look at it, back off from it and look at it in perspective, I will see that if I'm going to press this or if it has to be just this way, which is my way, then I'm majoring on minor things. And then when you have that eventual friction or conflict, if you remember that in everything, we do it by the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is what? Legalism? No. The law of Christ is love. And then he says, my authority. He says it this way. He says, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. See, Paul's saying, if anyone wants to question me, if in the future, someone comes and tries to undo what I've said in this letter, if anyone wants to know what my credentials are and what my authority is, you can just tell them. All you got to do is walk up and he'll show you. And he's got the scars, the physical scars of persecution because of his commitment to Christ. You know, there may be some issues and instances in your life that if you really stop and look at it, they give you the freedom to live as you live and to say the things that you say. Because why? Because you paid the price of commitment. You bear on your body the brand marks of Jesus. Paul meant them literally. So now you begin to see that he wanted to take the pen from the hand of his friend. And he wanted to make sure that these last verses, as we divide them out, Galatians 6, verses 11 through 18, he wanted to make sure that anyone who might have doubted that Paul was behind this is my hand, this is my penmanship, and this is what I want you to know. He leaves them with that final blessing, and that blessing from the beginning through the middle to the end of this book is grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So really that leaves a question for us to answer. Who would be the target? What group is the target of Galatians today? You know, we don't relate to this issue of legalism that they had, circumcision. We don't relate to all those Mosaic laws and rules and regulations. But we have transposed them into our culture. We have put different names on them, and they may seem very, very important, but in reality, it's one and the same. So who is the target for this message today? It would be anyone who would depreciate Jesus as our sufficient Savior, and minimize the power of the Holy Spirit as our sufficient guide. Think about that. Look at that. If Paul were pointing fingers at people today who would take the place of his enemies, the Judaizers in his day, it would be any one of us. Any one of us who would take the primary place of Jesus and relegate it to something less. who would seek to add anything else to that commitment, anything else but faith through grace. I guess really it all boils down to the work of Jesus on the cross is finished. We receive it as a free gift of grace. And then we live out our lives being what the Bible calls being sanctified each and every day. That's becoming more like Jesus as time goes on. Never are we perfect. Never do we reach the ultimate goal, not until He returns. But in the meantime, we live faithful lives. Tell me Jesus died for my transgressions, and He paid that price a long, long time ago, when He gave His life for me on a hill called Calvary. There's just one thing I want to know. Does He still feel the nails every time I fail? Does He hear the crowd cry, crucify again? Am I causing Him pain? Really want to change. I just can't bear the thought of hurting Him. I've always been so good at breaking promises, and I treat His precious grace so carelessly. Each time He forgives, what if He relives the agony He felt on that tree? Does He still feel the nails every time I fail? Does He hear the crowd cry, crucify again? Am I causing Him pain? I really want to change. I just can't bear the thought of hurting Him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. That will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity to hear Your word, to gather and come before You, knowing that You hear us when we pray, knowing that You desire to lead us in the decisions of life. Father, I thank you for the courage of Paul, who wrote a stinging letter, a sharp-toned letter to people who needed to look at their lives. Father, I pray we do the same today, and we make the decisions and the choices that reflect our love for you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We offer an invitation as we wrap up this hour today. It's basically how we wrap up every time we gather here together. Because it could be that as God has spoken to us through singing prayers through his word, that you would be motivated to make a choice that honors him. Such as what? Well, it could be that you're here today and you have never stepped across that line of faith. You have never prayed that prayer that says, "Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I ask you to forgive me and I take the gift of grace of salvation and I make it my own." If you're a little unclear on that, there'll be ministers and deacons standing here that can help clarify and pray for you and be a help. Maybe you're here today and you know the Lord, just never publicly told the world. A profession of faith is what God commands each one of us to do. Maybe you've never followed him in believer's baptism. Come forward and find a time and get the explanation you need of why those issues are important. Maybe you join a church like ours today. Maybe this is the decision upon your heart and upon your life, that this congregation is one that you can see yourself serving amidst us, among us. So we invite you to come. And how you join a church like ours is simple. You just come forward. And then maybe it's after looking at these verses over and over and over these weeks, maybe you just plugged in for a few of them. Maybe it's just now today that you begin to hear the real message of the danger of legalism. So whatever that issue is in your life, maybe it would be right now where you would take a stand and say, "Lord, set me free. Help me to walk humbly after you." That's our invitation. We stand together. We wait for you here in the front. Won't you respond as God leads?